Again, and let's look at chapter number 4, and we'll pick up there, and trust to be a help to you. And before I bring the morning lesson, I'll go to sing a song by request, and anyhow, as a matter of fact, I may sing a couple, and they go right together, really. One's entitled The Prodigal Son. And but there's another song that I sing with it called Love Covers All Sin. And actually, it's about the same thing. But you listen to the words, and then we'll bring our message this morning.
Servant for thee. like a prodigal son. I wandered from Jesus, but the good shepherd saw through the heat and the cold. The nighty and night, he left in the fold, just to find this lost sheep that was hungry and cold. So I believe I'll go home, had eat with the Father. The table is spread and waiting for me. I can see the Father coming down to greet me. Lord, I'm willing to be a servant for Thee. Lord, I'm willing to be a servant for Thee.
I'm thankful, Lord, that He does save sinners and seeks us and finds us. Amen. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Now, the first day when we were talking about speaking from Ephesians, we told you that chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 talked about the Lord's work or His great work in salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." When you come to chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians, you'll find it talks about our great walk and speaks of human responsibility. And so chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 gives us the doctrinal background. When you come to chapter 4, 5, and 6, it's more along the lines of a practical responsibility we have as God's people. Well, yesterday we left off there in chapter number 2 talking about God saving us from our sin, and that we were dead in trespasses and sin, talked about our inability, not able to come to Christ, and that the Lord quickened us and give us life. And you understand that was necessary in the sense that we could never come if God had not quickened us. And He purposed to do so before the foundation of the world. Not only to choose us, but to mark off the boundaries ahead of time, place us as sons and daughters in a family. And you understand then we ought to be thankful. It's a humbling fact that, my friend, that we deserve nothing. God's been good to us in mercy. Well, when you come to chapter number 4 now, here are some responsibilities that we have as the Lord's people. Not only are we saved by grace through faith, but because we are saved, then we ought to want to serve Him. Now, you understand this, we don't work to get saved, and we don't work to stay saved. But we do work because we are saved. And so then you understand the evidence of true conversion is the fact that there's a nature that's changed in you, your life changes, and you also have a desire to want to go to work for Him. Now it says this in verse number 1 of chapter 4, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all." Let's pray. Father, we thank You now for the reading of Your Word. And Lord, I do pray that You speak to our hearts this morning. That, Father, that we'd see the responsibility that we have as believers this morning because of that new life, Father, we have in our hearts. We ask now that You help us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I want you to notice now, He says, "I therefore, the prisoner. That word therefore, there again, it's a word that connects you with previous statements. And you understand that you need to raise the question why the word therefore is therefore, amen? Because he's going to tell you some things based upon what's already been said. And he says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. When Paul wrote this particular letter, he was in a Roman prison. And along with some other letters he did write, he sent them out to the churches. And so Paul then knows something, not only about God's sovereignty, but he also knows something about walking with God. And you understand this, that when you get saved from your sin, then you ought to begin your walk with God and continue to walk with Him until time to go home, and we'll walk with Him throughout eternity. And that's where that walk begins. And you understand there's some responsibilities that God's people have in learning to walk with God. Now, Paul had walked with Him for some time, and no doubt that being in prison is not a very pleasant place to be at, especially when you lose your freedom. But be assured that if you learn to walk with God, it doesn't matter where you're at, you can still enjoy fellowship, enjoy the blessings, because the Lord is there. Now, he says this, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy. Now that word beseech carries the idea to call alongside of. Come here, Brother Nathan. Come on in. It's kind of like this. It's calling Nathan aside here. And I say, I beseech you, Nathan. In other words, what I've got to say to you, this is very important, amen. So you stick real close, amen. Don't go nowhere. I've called you alongside. Why? Because we've got some things to talk about, and you've got to hear this. Go ahead and sit down, Nathan. I beseech you, therefore, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. Well, when God has saved us and called us into salvation, we are then to walk worthy. That talks about after a godly sort. If you love the Master, if you love the Lord, you don't want to do anything to bring a reproach upon His name. And you understand that whatever God has raised you up to be for His glory and honor. And remember I said the other day that we're all gifted children. God has given us something to contribute to the body of Christ. But whatever that gift may be, whatever that calling or vocation may be, we're to walk worthy of it. You understand it's a privilege this morning to be able to walk with God. Because certainly you understand we were undeserving of our salvation, undeserving of mercy and grace, but now since God has saved us and been gracious to us, it also becomes a privilege to walk with Him. As a matter of fact, it becomes a privilege to be able to come to the house of God and to worship Him. It's a privilege of being here. Now he says this, not only are we to walk worthy of this vocation, he said, wherewith ye are called. You understand now, God has placed us in a particular area of the work of the body. And brother, we ought to be satisfied and content and learn to walk with God where we're at. Amen? Now, you see, you're never going to be satisfied doing anything else but doing what God's called you to do. And if you're doing what God's called you to do, and you're walking with Him, He's going to teach you and He's going to show you how to better use your gift, how to better use your talent, how you can be more successful, if you want to use that word, as a Christian by just simply walking with Him. Why? Because you're with Him. It's kind of like, you know, learning a job. And when you learn, when you're being trained, it feels pretty good to have somebody on the side of you knows what's going on and what to do. You got the questions you can always ask, you see. Well, the difference here is this, that we'll never learn the job completely, but we always have Him there with us. If you're walking with Him, you can talk to Him. Got any questions? You can talk to Him. Amen? He's there helping you. So do you understand then our responsibility is to walk with God. Verse number 2 gives you some things to consider while you're walking with God. Now this is not everything, but he mentions 4 things in verse number 2. First of all, if you're going to walk with God, you're going to walk with Him with all lowliness. Look at Philippians chapter number 2 and look at verse number 3. It says this, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." Now what's he saying? "But in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." The idea of walking with Him with all lowliness talks about humility. Now, if you're going to find yourself in trouble, you'll find yourself in trouble because of pride. Pride always leads to sin and rebellion. If you're not careful, you'll get off track. But if you'll remember what you were, where you came from, and what God has done for you in salvation, it'll keep you thinking right. Amen? Because if you get lifted up in pride, then you're sure to fall. So then you understand then that walking with God is walking with Him in humility. Understanding that He's the sovereign, He's the Lord, and we're His children, we're His servants, and brother, we're to walk with Him and not get exalted with pride or get to the place where we want to draw attention to ourselves or my friend try to take credit for what's being done. Why? Because God does it all for us. A lot of ministries, as I said the other night, are built around men. And sad to say, in a lot of independent Baptist churches, you'll find some of their ministries are built around the man. But when that man dies, or when that man leaves and goes somewhere else, sometimes those ministries suffer. Why? Because it was all built upon that man. Or if that man falls into sin, the ministry suffers. But you see, God gets glory through the church. So that you understand then, Brother Wayne, he's your pastor. He's the one God has placed here in leadership. But that does not mean that he is a dictator. Amen? And I know him well enough now to realize that he respects the authority of the church. But I have seen some preacher brethren, man, they exercise all the authority. And when they say they're going to discipline somebody, it's generally by the decision of the pastor. Or if they're going to buy something, it's because the pastor made that decision. You see what I'm saying? Now he's to guard that pulpit, amen? And he's to take care of the spiritual affairs of this body. But there's some things that have to be done by the authority of the church. So that you understand then that when men get in that position, sometimes they get exalted in pride. And they want everybody to look to them, depend upon them, and praise them, because if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be here or you wouldn't make it, you see.
That's the kind of the attitude. But you understand this, it's not to be that way. We're nothing. God's everything. Christ is still head of the church. Amen? So you understand then that as the Lord's people, we need to remember where we are, where we came from, what we are, and just be glad that God has been merciful to save us and enjoy the privilege and the responsibility God has given us just to simply walk with Him. Then He talks about meekness. Now, we've discussed this the other day. And I said that word meekness carries the idea of strength being under control. Someone said it's like a wild horse being broke. A wild horse that's going to be broke, you've got to catch him because he's not going to be willing to come willingly, amen. But when you capture him, the first thing you do is you halter break him. Once you halter break him, then you begin to work with him by putting a blanket and a saddle on his back, because the intention is you're going to one day ride this horse. But by and by, what you're doing is you're teaching the horse meekness. And the day finally comes, you're able to get on his back and ride him, and he's not going to buck you off. He's not going to go where he wants to go. He's going to go where you pull the rein, because he's learned meekness. Now this horse can still bunk. This horse still can run wild. This horse still can jump. But if he's learned meekness, my friend, then he's not going to do that. Why? Because strength has come under control. Then you understand this, there are some things about ourselves that sometimes can get in the way. Now, I don't argue with Deborah a whole lot. And the reason why, because she's better at using words than I am. And she knows how to get ahead of me sometimes. Now, sometimes, amen? That's right. Don't tell her I said this now. But the point is this. If I'm going to pick an argument with her, you know, I choose my words wisely. But you see, she has a way of getting back with words that can get ahead of you. And, you know, some people are like that. And on occasion, you may have opportunity to put somebody in their place just by simply using words. But if you're going to exercise meekness and strength under control, even though they may have it coming, even though you may feel like they deserve it, but you just simply zip your mouth and keep quiet and don't say nothing. There again, strength under control. You understand this, that meekness is not a sign of weakness, but it's a sign of someone who has learned self-control and taking their strength and using them for the glory of God. When it comes time to speak, then use your skills of words carefully that might bring glory and honor to God. Then, not only do you see meekness, but it says with long-suffering. And that word long-suffering carries the idea of being even-tempered. Which means then that in this life as a believer, as you're walking with God, there are going to be circumstances that's going to try your patience. There will be individuals that will make you mad, or upset you, or offend you. Well, where does that happen? Well, it can happen anywhere, but it can also happen at the house of God. Amen? I know most of you have been to a Baptist business meeting. Amen? And I've been through some doozies down through the years. And I know some of you have too. But you understand this, that long-suffering is to exercise being even-tempered. Don't let those things bother you. Don't let those things get to you. See them for what they are. You understand this? That's the problem a lot of times we have, is we don't see things for what they are. Because a lot of times when trouble comes and there's someone who's been out of shape for some reason, first of all, see it for what it is. First of all, Satan is trying to get in. And if Satan can ever disrupt the unity of the church, he'll do so. And by the way, he'll use you to do so. So the next time your feathers get ruffled, the next time you get rubbed wrong, just remember now that Satan is fixing to use you if you're not careful. Well, this helps us understand the next word because he says, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now that word forbearance talks about mutual toleration. Which means then, there are some things you've got to learn to tolerate in the brethren. We're all different in the sense of personality. Things that we like and dislike. Our taste may vary. But you understand this, that learning to tolerate, exercise long-suffering among the brethren will help you as you walk with God. Now, it could be that Brother Cecil shows up to church one Sunday and he's got a shirt on that, man, Brother Orville would not be caught dead in. Well, he may not like the shirt, but I wouldn't offend Brother Cecil, amen, over it. Not worth the effort, is it? Sometimes you get around folks who talk too much. Or they're an authority on everything. You can't tell them nothing. Amen? I don't care if it's your trade or that's something you know something about. They know more about it than you do. Now sometimes it's a little hard to exercise forbearance there, but you understand, for the sake of Christ, to walk with God, be long-suffering, and just simply learn to tolerate some things. And you see, he said, preacher, I don't know that I'm made that way that I can do that. Well, if you're saved by the grace of God, be assured you're made that way. Amen. Why? Because the Lord has put it in your heart to do so. You understand this, that God's people are capable of loving undesirable people. We're capable of loving those who have done us wrong. Why? Because when you got saved, God put it in you to do so. If you'll walk with God, you'll learn to overcome some of those things so that you can love others. So he says now, forbearing one another in love, then years ago, Deborah and I had the privilege of going to Des Moines, Iowa to try to help her work get started there. And about midnight or somewhere early that morning, it was the winter time, snow on the ground, and we're talking about snow, when you know what kind of snow y'all get in this part of the country. Well, we had someone come knocking on the door. Well, when I went to answer the door, it was a little girl about 11 or 12 years old. Her name was Emily. And she was a Sioux Indian girl. And we had met her on visitation, and she had come to Sunday school a few times. And actually lived about 2 or 3 blocks away from us. And she came to the door with sock feet on, cotton pants, and a sweater. And it was cold outside, and she was crying. And when I opened the door, I couldn't get her to stop. By that time, Deborah was out of bed and came to the front room. And when she saw Deborah, she ran straight to her and just jumped up there to hold her. Well, Deborah finally calmed her down and began to console her. And what had just happened, she had been molested by her mother's boyfriend. Now, he was a big 6-foot-something Sioux Indian. A big guy. Well, make a long story short, nothing was ever done. He got off scot-free. The girl was taken and sent back to the reservation of the Dakotas to live with her grandparents. By and by, her mother went back to the man, and she still had 2 boys at home. Now, I guarantee you, after seeing that, it's real hard to love a man like that, isn't it? Well, some months later, a preacher by the name of Brother Harjo came up to preach revival for us. And we had borrowed a bus so we could pick up some of those kids for the meetings. Well, we went by this house where this woman and this guy lived to pick up the 2 boys. And we picked them up at the first of the week and began to pick them up every night. Well, towards the end of the week, we stopped by to let them off, and when we did, here come this big Sioux Indian. And he came out to the bus, and he wanted to talk to me for a moment, so I got off the bus and started to talk with him. Well, by that time, we had all the kids delivered, so there was nobody on the bus but me and Brother Harjo. And he says, Brother Johnson, you need to go in and talk to that woman. She's drunk, and she's mad, and she's been trying to beat up on me with an iron skillet, and I can't calm her down. Would you go in and have a talk with her? And I kind of thought, well, you probably deserved it. But Brother Harjo stayed outside with him, and I went inside because I knew her. Well, when I got inside, you know, by that time she had started to calm down, and she was about half drunk. And finally, I told her, maybe the best thing for you to do is just to get out and take the boys and go with us, and we'll take the boys home with us, and Deborah will look after them, and you go ahead and get yourself some help. Well, Deborah worked for the Indian Department for the Detox Center for the alcoholism program, so we took her there and was going to commit her, you know, to the program. She had to stay there for 2 or 3 days to get dried out, or however long it took. Well, after she signed the papers and we met the director, about halfway going up the stairs, she changed her mind. Well, by that time, it was too late. And it was a job finishing getting her on up the stairs, but she got there, amen? Well, all this took place. We had the boys for probably a week or so, and before she got out of there, and everything was back to normal. But one day, they all showed up for service. In that service, the Lord touched her heart and saved her. And also touched this man's heart and saved him. Now, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. Sometimes it's hard to exercise forbearance
and love. Knowing all that you know about individuals. Can it be done? Sure it can. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm talking there's a lot of things you're going to have to deal with in yourself to be able to love and exercise long-suffering and forbearance in some people. I shared with the pastor this morning there in Mississippi, we had a guy who tried to knife us one night. And I know that Deborah had a problem with it. I had a problem with it after that. Anytime he would come to church or come on church property or we'd see him in the community, it was hard to exercise forbearance for the fella. But you understand this, that God puts it in us, His people, to be able to love sinners. How do I know that? Because that love that we have comes from Him. And He loved you when you were unlovable. He loved you when you were undeserving. He loved you in spite of all that you've done. He loved you. So that you understand then, walking with God is to exercise lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Verse number 3, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So that word endeavoring carries the idea to do something hurriedly or speedily, fast. Our responsibility is endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, which means this, my friend, if there is something that's going to try to disrupt the unity of the house of God, my friend, deal with it. Don't run from it. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. In other words, go quickly and try to take care of it. Why? Because if the body becomes divided, it's not going to function properly. Now, when you see the word body, the word building, the word bride, it talks about the local church. So he's now talking, to the church of Ephesus, and he says this to them as a church. There is one body. It implies this, that it's one body, one assembly, one called out assembly, one church. In order for this body to operate correctly, there has got to be unity. And this body, collectively, ought to be walking with God. And we can if we're walking with God individually. That means that as a body, no one has authority over us except Christ the head. So the example of unity is now given here. He says there is one body, and he says there's also and one Spirit. Talking about the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God, who works in this one body, will never tell you to do anything contrary to the Word of God. And my friend, I'll give you even one more than that. If you're part of this body, the Spirit of God is going to lead you in the direction that the church needs to go. And brother, we'll be all going the same direction. He's not going to tell Brother Cecil to go one way and Brother Orville another way, Brother Johnny a different direction, because that would disrupt the unity. Amen? Now, I believe in having business meetings at the church. And I know some independent Baptist preachers and churches that don't believe in business meetings. And probably more so the preachers. But you see, I believe business meetings are scriptural. They're in the Word of God. You'll see them there. One thing a business meeting is, it's a place where we can find out the will of God for the church. Actually, a business meeting is a meeting of worship also. Amen. It gives us opportunity to pray over decisions that need to be made at the local church. And then when we come together as a body and express what needs to be done, we can begin to see by listening to the body the direction we need to go. Because if they've been praying, seeking the Lord's leadership, brother, we're going to head in the same direction. And I know that you've experienced that when y'all decide to build this fellowship hall back here. Amen? Y'all fixing to think about buying some property and then building another building possibly. Well, I guarantee you, when those decisions are made, God will speak to the body. It'll be expressed in a business meeting as to what we feel like that God is doing and leading us to do. And the Spirit of God, my friend, if He's in this, He'll give you all the same direction. He'll help you get where you need to be. Why? Because there's only one Holy Spirit. And He's going to work in all of our hearts, you see. Not only is there one Spirit, but He's also, even as you're called, one hope of your calling. Now that talks about a complete salvation. One hope of your calling. There's only one way to get saved. We've already talked about this already. But He's talking about a salvation that's complete from beginning to end. It's the Lord who purposed to save us. In the process of time, He did save us. Those whom He saves, the Bible says He justifies, He sanctifies, and brother, He has glorified. Hadn't happened yet, but brother, count on it. We've got a glorified body coming. We're saved from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, one day even the presence of sin. A complete salvation from start to finish. Only one way that we're saved. He goes on to say this, one Lord. Lordship talks about His sovereignty. It talks about us submitting to Him, His authority over us. We don't have but just one Master, one Lord, amen? Christ is the head of the church. We follow Him. One faith. Well, in the Word of God, sometimes faith refers to saving faith. Sometimes faith is regards to trusting Him. But sometimes when it talks about faith, it talks about a system of belief. And that's what He's talking about here. There's only one faith. Do you believe that? Sure I do. If I didn't believe that, wouldn't be here. And I believe as New Testament churches, as Baptist people, brother, we have that one faith. It talks about a system of belief and doctrine and practice. And there's only one.
He says this, one baptism. Now some of your Protestants have a little problem with this. They kind of think that this may be talking about some spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost. But one baptism is exactly what it says. Only one kind. By immersion. The mode. The authority given by the church. The design to picture the death, the burial, and the resurrection. You understand this, that there's only one baptism. That's the reason why we don't accept baptisms from other religious groups, because they don't have the authority. Or sometimes their motive for baptizing, like the Christ churches or Church of Christ, they think it saves you. Well, we don't believe that. The Bible don't teach that. We only receive baptisms from other churches of like faith and order, because there's only one kind of baptism. He goes on to say this, one God and Father of all. Well, brother, there's only one God. Now, there's that crowd out yonder who accuse us, because we believe in the Trinity, of believing that we have three gods, but we don't. We believe in one God, manifested the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, a triune God, but only one. Now, all these things have been said there. He says, now, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. The example is the fact you see it, all these ones. If you're going to walk with God, then learn to walk with Him. Be in unity, not only among yourself, but be in unity in your walk with Him. And we're capable of doing so. Don't sit back there and make excuses or say, preacher, but. And I remind you, only goats butt. Amen? Sheep follow. Did you understand this then? To walk with God is to walk in unity with each other and with Him. If we're all walking with Him, it'll take care of the problem of unity. Now this idea of walking with God not only talks about unity, but talks about fellowship and getting to know Him better. There again, it's like when Brother Darrell, Miss Annie got married. And Brother Darrell, I'm sure you thought you knew Annie. But when you got married, you found out there's some things you just didn't know. But I guarantee you, Brother Darrell knows Annie better today than he did the first time he met her. Why? Because they have walked together a long time. And they've walked together long enough to know a lot of things about each other that a lot of other people would never pick up on, because they've walked together. And you understand this, when you walk with God, the longer you walk with Him, the more you're going to know. And you're going to pick up on some things that, because you've walked with Him, that maybe a young believer hasn't just quite picked up yet. Not that they won't, but the fact is they haven't walked quite as long. And sometimes that becomes an opportunity for those who have walked longer with the Lord to be a blessing to those younger ones. Amen. To encourage and just let them know some things what you've learned about walking with God.
But you understand this, all those whom the Lord saves, first of all, have the ability to walk with Him. It's in us to do so. Secondly, we will walk with Him if we belong to Him. We will. We may not always be faithful in every area, but you can't get away from Him if you belong to Him. You may try. Jonah, he ran, didn't he? And you know the story about Jonah. Well, you can run all you want to, but you can't get away from Him. You've got to walk with Him. You have to walk with Him. As we all stand, bow our heads, close our eyes. Question being raised this morning, are you walking with God? Every once in a while, sometimes the Lord's people, like Jonah, try to get a mind of their own. And that's where you're going to find yourself in trouble. But if you'll purpose to submit yourself, say, Lord, I'm going to walk with You no matter what. Exercise meekness, forbearance, long-suffering, patience, all those things. You can do it. Father, we thank You now for the Word of God You've given to us. And Lord, I pray that You would speak to hearts this morning. Help us, Lord, to walk with You, Father. And Lord, we're thankful this morning that we can and have that privilege. But Lord, if there are those who have been cold in heart and Lord, aren't where they need to be this morning, I pray that You'd help them get there. And Father, if there are those among us who are lost without Christ, Lord, I pray that You'd grant repentance and faith, show them mercy, Lord, that they might be saved and have the privilege to be able to walk with You. Father, we ask now for Your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor?